fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples, and the nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. From the Gospel of Matthew, we hear of the story of John the Baptizer. In those days, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all of the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by John in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day, coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Don't presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. I am well loved by my mother-in-law, probably mostly for having grandchildren. As she said on our wedding day, "Hurry up and get to it because I want to take my granddaughters to the ballet before I'm in a wheelchair." We made her wait a long time. But I know she also really appreciates me because I first met her on a traveling trip, and she discovered that I was willing to stop and ask for directions. Now, that's not a big trait for men, but I lived so long outside of the country and never knew what was going on that I actually don't have the fear of asking for directions. Gets you in good with your mother-in-law. It also usually gets you to where you're trying to go. And I think that that's really a good metaphor for what is going on in today's scripture. Stopping to ask for directions. Isaiah is writing when the people are prisoners. They are in exile. Babylon has destroyed their nation, their temple, their country, their way of life. He has destroyed the ruling power of their nation, the kingly line of David that dates back to Jesse, the forebearer of King David. And he gives this prophetic vision. Now, prophets don't see the future as much as name the future that is in our midst. They are not diviners that are, close their eyes and can see some sort of magical thing. I heard someone once describe it, they're kind of more like people that are in a helicopter circling over the maze. And as you're on Highway 80 in El Cerrito and you're wondering why the traffic is stopped, the person in the helicopter can tell you why and can tell you which way to go in order to avoid the problem. So not reading the future magically as much as seeing how the future is impacting the present. And so in that day of oppression, Isaiah gives this vision of peace, of a kingdom that will come, of a kingdom that is coming. Now remember, he tells this to people who are exiles. They've been dragged from their lands, forced to adopt a new religion, a new language, a new way of life, a new diet, a new home, a new everything. And he says to them this vision, this message that is in poetry. And we read this a lot, and it's quite beautiful. And in fact, there's lots of pictures that are painted of it. It's called The Peaceable Kingdom, and here's a great picture of it that I found on Google. If you Google it, you'll find all these pictures. One thing you notice is that it's always fake. It's pretty tough to get those animals to pose together without somebody eating someone else. It's also pretty tough to get a picture of a little child sticking his hand into the den of vipers or asps without them getting bitten. It's pretty much impossible. It's about as impossible as a lion and a lamb going into a bar and getting martinis together. It's impossible. It can never happen. It will never happen. And yet, Isaiah uses these impossible words to try to put into language what God is doing. Not what God will do in the future, but what God is already bringing about. A peace that is beyond understanding. Matthew tells us a story of John the Baptizer, who is a cousin of Jesus and who, in our tradition, we say prepared the way for Jesus, who was probably not someone you wanted to cross. You wanted to be on his side. And yet when we see in the story, he is out in the wilderness, way out away from all civilization where the prophets live, where they are dependent on God to provide food. That's what he eats, honey and locusts. And he depends on God for the clothing that he has, this crazy kind of hair shirt, short thing that he wears. Not very Gucci, but it's not about fashion. It's about saying that he depends on God for everything, and God provides. And everybody comes out. We're told that everybody leaves the city and comes to this crazy guy wearing basically underwear made out of hair and eating honey. Talk about a cult figure. They come to him. And he has harsh words. Repent. And then he goes on and says, what will happen if you don't repent? All these images of fire, of crops being harvested, of things being destroyed. You must repent. Now, we have a problem in the Bible and in our world because in the 3rd century, a man named Jerome translated the Bible into Latin. Now, I'm not saying this because I know this. I read this in books. I'm not that smart. And he translated the word metanoia, which is the Greek word for repent in that story. That's what John the Baptizer screams. Metanoia, the kingdom of God is coming. And Jerome translated that word as penitence. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to be sorry and sad. But what the word actually means is you need to change your life. You need to leave behind all the things that impede and block and blind you and live differently. You need a new frame of mind, because how you've thought in the past cannot fathom what really is. Now, that's quite different than you've been a bad boy because you smoked a cigarette on the Sabbath. John says to the people, you've got to leave it all behind. You want what God wants for us. You got to leave it all behind. All the things that block you, all your selfishness, all your small ways of thinking, all the boundaries you have between what is of God and what isn't, who is with me and who isn't, who is my neighbor and who isn't, how horrible I am and how great I am. You've got to leave it all behind. All of it. And God will provide. And God will provide in a crazy way that looks like a lion sitting down at a bar with a lamb and drinking martinis. Looks like a kid sticking his hand into the nest of dangerous snakes and not being bitten. It looks like a lion cozying up to an ox at a trough, and they both enjoy the succulent straw. Impossible. And yet, is it? Maybe it's just a matter of us repenting, doing enough metanoia to fathom what God might do. Our small ways of thinking, our small ways of being, our small ways of anticipating who and how God is in the world. It's an invitation for me as well. So how is God calling you to repent in the metanoia sense? How is God calling you to be open to believing that this cheesy vision of a kid that's obviously photoshopped onto the lap of a lion who's photoshopped onto the head of a lamb and they're all playing on a playground, to believe that that is the truth, not just true, but the truth, the peace that God is bringing? Now, breaking that down is a hard thing because I have never seen any of that come to pass. I personally have never been brave enough to put my hand in the hole of a snake to see if it's true. I've never hopped the fence at the Oakland Zoo to cozy up with a tiger to see if God would provide me. Now, maybe I am a person of little faith, or maybe I am a person of great intellect, or a person of no backbone. But I have seen a lamb lie down with a lion. I have seen a child put their hand into the hole of a snake. Have you? I want to show you two glimpses of that from this week. First one is we were at a celebration for the end of our ESL class, and Joy and Al were able to come with me, and different people who are immigrants who have moved here and who are learning English, trying to adapt to a life here. Usually most of them are fleeing extreme violence. We one night in our class asked, well, why did you come here? The four men that were there all said, because my father was killed in front of my eyes. And I either could die there or come here and hope to live. And here is, it's going to be a quick little thing. I'm going to break your ears because I'm going to change the sound system. But here is the testimony of one person about how learning English in a church, how that has changed their life. And so I'm going to invite you to close your ears for 1 second right now, because I'm going to do an unprofessional thing. If you want to follow Pete, this is not the peaceable kingdom. Close your ears real fast. Oh, that wasn't so bad. This one will be, though. Sorry. Oh. Third time's not a charm. We'll see. Here we go. There we go. Sounds like God's wrath. He's speaking in Spanish. You'll hear the translation.
So thank you so much for the time I've gotten to be here. Thank you for all that you can. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of applause. I don't know if you caught that, but he said he's actually able to talk to his boss. Before now, he hasn't been able to talk to his boss about if he's being paid properly, if he's working a fair amount of work, if he even has work the following day. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that Isaiah might have been talking about things like that. And that happens because people who believe that God is near showed up to teach English 2 hours a week. Only because of that. I do believe that what Isaiah says is true. It's coming to pass. Let me show you one more video. This is something that you all are involved in. This is Carl and Myrna, who are down in Guatemala. They made this video. We've been trying to see them on Sundays. They made this video this week. This is another example of what Isaiah is talking about, that you are making help happen. How many of you are drinking a cup of coffee that you got this morning here? You're making this happen.
The cafe works here.
Buenos dias from Tallinn, Guatemala, and La Ceiba Co-op and coffee. The first Sunday of Advent, how I miss being with you, but the city is full of joy and excitement and lots of people. We're right outside the Catholic Church. We found out there's lots of fireworks this year, and we found out that one of the ways that this church celebrates communion is after communion to set off tons of fireworks. They're so loud and so amazing. So we love you, and thank you for helping with us make this trip and for what's happening down here between people, and between people that know each other and between people that will probably never see each other again. Thank you.
So the cafe is coming along, and it'll be a place where folks that are indigenous will be able to actually have their own business, which is really unusual. They just don't have the ability to pull that off. So we're so excited to be a part of that and that you're a part of that. And Donna and Peter are doing really well, and we've had lots of times with their kids, and they're delightful. We spent Thanksgiving with them. Love you all, and we miss you so much. You're our church. You've made us whole. Adios. Boy, is he going to get on the action here? So this is part of the co-op. We've got some folks who are members of the co-op, and then we've got volunteers from the kids that part of the youth group, Peter and Mary. Hola!
Hello!
Hey, what are you guys doing?
Ripping wood apart.
Oh, right. Why do you rip wood apart?
Well, we're trying to get wood for the cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Furniture, I think, so.
All right. So these guys are all being. And Myrna's over here wiping up my mess. Oh, go around.
So some of that, if you are aware of what's going on, you might know that that's the cafe we're helping build. If you don't know, these are people that we partner, that we met some people in Guatemala through the church where we help teach ESL. The pastor of the church in Oakland is from this town in Guatemala. We are helping them to import their coffee. They've been growing coffee for generations. They have never, ever made a profit. They do it because that's what they do. So we've been helping them import it for fair trade. We drink it. That's what we drink. We pay fair trade for their, not just fair trade, we pay full trade, I guess you could say, with them. And we also are helping them. You're helping them to build a cafe, the first cafe in their city, where they will be selling the coffee that they grow to people in their town. Now, that doesn't seem like a big idea, but it is. People in Guatemala, Guatemalans drink Nescafe. They don't drink the coffee they grow. Only Americans and Europeans do. So because of, in large part, what we're doing, they will be able to sell their coffee to their people in their city and make a huge profit so that maybe they might break even. Now, I still have never seen a lamb lie down with a lion, but that sure looks like it to me. Where is God calling you to repent? To set aside the smallness in your minds that keeps you from seeing what God is already doing. Because the kingdom of God is near. Amen. I want to invite you to stand as you are able in body or in spirit as we sing our next hymn. This is...